you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 191 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, once again. And today, my guest is Holly Chantel. Holly is a business coach and entrepreneurial integrator and motivator, although that's kind of not the best way to describe her. But she helps businesses overcome challenges of having to do with the integration of their branding, their business model, and their marketing strategy to get them unstuck and moving forward to the next plateau. It's a delightful conversation, I think. I'm totally in the bag for Holly, having spent way too much time the previous night reviewing her website and preparing for the podcast. And I'm just thoroughly enthralled with who she is and what she stands for and how she delivers her services and products. And I hope you come to that same conclusion. So without any further delay, here's Holly Chantel. Holly Chantel, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, I am thrilled to have you with us today. Holly, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, so I am a business integrator and a brand strategist. And basically what that means is I help private practices integrate new ideas and new systems, processes, and basically foundational support into their business so that they can grow and scale.
You know, this is probably old hat for you, and we've had this conversation with other marketing types and what have you, that you have to determine what your value-added proposition is or what your business tagline is and, you know, put it on your card or have that be the focus of your development. And I always thought that was kind of a little too woo-woo for me. But on yours, it really resonated with me, and it really tells me personally, hopefully it does for everybody else, what you're all about. And I'll just read it for our audience. It says, I help businesses bring their brand, business model, and marketing systems into alignment with their next level of growth.
It's taken years of practice to get it that clear.
I think that's brilliant. Because, you know, so often it just sounds like some platitude. But when I look at this and kind of parse it down a bit, it tells me everything I really want to know. That you focus on branding, you focus on the business model structure, you focus on marketing system, but more importantly, you focus on bringing those into alignment so that they're consistent, and specifically with the idea of growing to the next level.
Right. I work with a lot of business owners that have reached kind of their ceiling. I don't know if you've read Gay Hendricks' The Leap, The Big Leap, but it's the upper limit where they've plateaued, can't seem to get beyond it. And so that's where I meet my clients. And it takes bringing all these different aspects kind of up to speed with who they are then, because they're not who they were when they started their business anymore. And they might not even realize that is actually what's holding them back. And there's some mindset shifts that need to happen. And then the business model, marketing, branding need to be brought into alignment with that before they're actually going to be able to begin to grow again.
Well, it's such an important concept that these three pillars, if you will, or prongs on the tripod, they don't exist by themselves. They have to work synergistically and interconnectedly in order for a business to progress.
Mm-hmm. And when I actually, when I have that model that's basically described in that statement, it's actually a Venn diagram. So each of those pillars is a circle and they overlap. And in the middle is that what I call perpetual growth.
Yeah, I can see that. So I think one of the challenges for attorneys, solo and small firm practitioners, it comes in a couple of different forms, but I think this strategy addresses both of those challenges. And one is, you know, if I had a blank sheet of paper and I was starting my practice from the beginning, I might not find it all that difficult to come up with my branding and a business model and a marketing approach that's consistent and integrated because I have a blank slate to work with. But for a lot of solo practitioners, you know, they kind of jumped in or they've already got their business up and running and with whatever degree of success they're having. When they go to try and make these things work together, they find, gee, I've got some pretty significant disconnects. So I guess, so that's the one scenario. The other scenario is when they want to make a change and they've been practicing in one practice area, they want to go to a different practice area, or they want to change the model of how they're delivering legal services, going from, say, I don't know, brick and mortar type office to a more virtual environment. And I see those are the two big challenges, two big opportunities for challenge that solo and small firm practitioners have to understand this approach. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. And why that happens is, or why both of those things happen, is when you start your practice, you have this vision for the type of work you're going to be doing, who you're going to be working with, what that business model looks like. And so you maybe hire a professional to get your website up, get your quote-unquote brand together, like your business cards, your logo, your name, all of those things. But then the reality doesn't match what you envisioned. And not necessarily in a bad way, but most attorneys, especially when they're starting out, they're getting their business through word of mouth. So who is coming to you is very much out of your control because it's coming from other people that are talking about you and their interpretation of what you do and how you work. And so you start attracting a lot of different types of clients that might not have necessarily fit into that idea that you had when you started. So that's where that gap begins to widen in who you're working with, what you're doing, and you're growing as a professional. And you're kind of developing your own process for working with these clients and doing a lot of different things. So that gap starts to widen between this is the messaging that I'm putting out there and the brand that I'm putting out there, and this is who I'm actually working with and what I'm doing. And so where that starts to split, where you're talking about like, now I have a business and I need to make change, is there comes a point where you realize maybe I don't want to work with these people anymore. Or maybe I really want to, in order for me to grow and scale, I really need to get focused and start building a brand for myself. And that's when you realize things are really not in alignment. You're not really sure what that looks like. And there's a lot of pieces that need to be in place for you to make that leap that you don't realize, especially when your business is now much more complex than when you started out. Now you probably have a staff and you have software that you're using and you have all the marketing materials that you've been using. And like a lot of things need to change and be brought into alignment. And it can feel really overwhelming, which is why a lot of people just kind of stay in that plateau.
And I can just share with you my own personal experience with that challenge. I mean, our listeners kind of know my journey that I went from doing personal injury law, adding family law, and then migrating to estate planning. And when I redid my website the last time and all that, I included all three of those practice areas and tried to make the website, in terms of visual appeal and approach, tried to make it one that had something for all of the types of clients that might come to me in those practice areas. Now that I've refined down to being primarily estate planning, that doesn't work anymore for me.
Hmm. Right. You know?
And I see that really being the case for a lot of different attorneys. And this is exactly the kind of the point that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of like once you've figured out who you are, which it sounds like you have, like you've gone on that journey between these different.
Oh, I don't know. This is my fourth career. I haven't really figured out who I am yet. But go ahead.
You're getting closer.
I'm getting closer.
Once you've figured out, you know, where your passion lies and you know, to a point who you are, then it becomes a lot easier to bring things into alignment, to let go of things that, you know, aren't, like for you, letting go of injury and family practice and now estate planning, like being able to focus in on that thing becomes so much easier. And that I would say is probably the biggest challenge for professional practitioners, is narrowing things down, because they're afraid that if they do that, they're going to be turning away potential business. And maybe they liked doing those things. So it's not like they want to, you know, throw everything out that they have enjoyed, but it does make things a lot harder.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team at Spotlight Branding. If you've been throwing money at Google and you haven't been happy with the casework you're attracting, it's time to switch up your marketing strategy. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of legal marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel or push you to spend thousands on pay-per-click ads. Instead, they work with solo and small law firms to stay top of mind with your network to increase referrals, which we all agree are the best clients of clients. One of the biggest mistakes attorneys make is that they fail to stay top of mind with their network. We're bombarded with information every day, and it's easy for people to forget who you are and what you do. Spotlight Branding's marketing strategy makes it nearly impossible for your network to forget about you, which means they'll think of you first when they or someone they know needs legal help. You can absolutely grow your business without competing for a spot on the first page of Google search. Spotlight Branding has turned hundreds of lawyers across the country into the go-to attorney in their community, and they can do the same for you. To get started, they're offering listeners of The Law Entrepreneur a free copy of their anti-SEO report. Just go to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, to get your free copy. Spotlight Branding, a better way to market your law practice. Law school didn't teach you the business of law. I know how hard you work. As you practice law, manage your firm, rainmake, making sure the bills are paid, you wear so many hats. You feel like you're stuck in neutral all the while working more and more hours? Fortune 500 CEOs all have coaches. Why don't you? You've got to talk to my friends at lawcoaching.com. Lawcoaching.com has coached solo, small firm, and medium-sized firms like you to huge growths. Head coach Anthony Geraci coached his firm to 490% increase over 5 years, and he can do it for you. Are you tired of trying to find great associates to do your work? Do you want more freedom to grow your firm? Then you've got to talk to Anthony Geraci at lawcoaching.com at 855-455-0050, or visit them at lawcoaching.com/partners/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive 20% off for the first month. You deserve to invest in yourself and take your firm to exceptional results. What are some of the steps? What are some of the things that you have to go through in order to align your business growth with how your life is changing or how your practice is changing?
Well, first you start with figuring out, kind of going back to where you started with the vision of, this is the type of client I want to be working with, this is the type of work I want to be doing. Except this time, because you're not completely new, and maybe some of you are, and either way, the steps are the same. You are looking at, you know, what do I want? What does my lifestyle look like right now? So for me, I started my business before I had kids. You know, I was in my early 20s, single, living in the city, like totally different than
living the charmed life.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, I had all the time in the world to focus on my business. Yep. Now, you know, I'm working on baby number 3, and one kid's in school, one kid's in daycare. I only have 5 or 6 hours a day to devote to my business. So things had to change in how the business model was structured, where I'm spending my time, what activities I'm doing versus outsourcing. And so your vision will change throughout your life. And it's not a failing. Some people get like really nervous about this, like I need to scale back my business versus grow. But that vision, you need to keep that up with your lifestyle that you have now, both like how you're going to balance your personal and professional life, the ways you want to be working, what you should be doing in your business and what you really should not be doing in your business because someone else could do it better. Those kinds of things. And you kind of lay out, this is what my ideal business would look like. And that's where people start. And they think that, okay, now I need to start, you know, moving the chess pieces in place to make that happen. But what actually really needs to happen is first, you need to go back to your brand and your message. That's really where, that's like the lifeblood of where the clients are coming from, what they're expecting of you, the personality aspects that attract like the clients that you really enjoy working with versus the ones that kind of like suck the life out of you. That's like where it all starts. So once you know what the business model is, you need to figure out what is the messaging that is going to make that business model possible. So what words and language are going to attract the right type of clients? How am I going to set right expectations and boundaries from the beginning? Explain the way I'm going to work. Because sometimes, I work with a lot of trailblazers, the way you're going to work is not what people are expecting. It's not the stereotypical engagement. Because we can get really creative with how you deliver your services. So how do we explain that? How do we price the programs and basically everything that's going to go into the marketing, we get all those points down first. And then we go over to sales and marketing and start putting together a plan for how we're going to deliver that message in a way that fits that business model vision you have. And that's where everything, like you said, it's all interconnected and then it all kind of flows. So we go brand, is delivered with sales and marketing. And then people that are coming in through your sales and marketing are going into that new business model. And it just, it works. It begins to flow. And it doesn't happen immediately. You know, sometimes I usually work with clients for at least nine to 12 months to get all of these pieces in place, especially if they've been in business for a while. And there's a lot of complexity and changes that need to happen because you can't like just, you know, change everything overnight. And now all of a sudden you're, you know, someone completely different and no one recognizes you. It kind of negates a lot of the marketing you've probably already been doing.
And I will share with you again my own experience because I'm the greatest source of mistakes and errors and things to learn from that I know of. So, you know, I think attorneys like myself, the first thing we do is we give short shrift to the vision. And we say, well, it's pretty clear. I want to be a solo practitioner. I want to make a bunch of money and I want to focus on estate planning. And that's the extent of our vision. Mm-hmm. And and who do I want to work with? Well, I want to work with people who can afford my services and I want to work with people who are nice to me.
Yep.
You know, that doesn't give you a lot, but then the differentiating point that I think you make is most attorneys, again, like myself, the next thing we do is start moving those chess pieces around in the marketing of our vision. Mm-hmm. And we say, well, I don't have to deal with my website or my Facebook page or my stationery or business cards or any of that, because that's already in place. I already have that. And what then happens, again, like me, the marketing isn't supported by the branding. And the branding is not conveying the message.
Right. So I have some questions for you, Neil. Why did you choose estate planning?
Why did I move to estate planning? Mm-hmm. It was a lifestyle choice, primarily. I wanted to decouple myself from the courthouse, from it being tied to a courthouse schedule. And litigation, by definition, you're at the court's mercy of when you have to be where. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to provide those services from wherever I am at the time, because I travel a lot.
And what type of estate planning do you do?
Well, see, now this is another great point. This is another great question that you're asking, because my initial vision is, again, completely different from what ended up being the reality. I thought initially that I would be working with folks my age, which, you know, is old. And what I found is that my preferred client and the real sweet spot of what I'm doing is younger couples who are just starting on their journey, or younger professionals who are just beginning their earnings growth. And so, again, since most of my clients now are skewing younger, the imagery and the branding on that I have, I don't think supports that.
So when,
and it's only people, since I started thinking it in terms of I'll be honest with you, Holly, is when I started researching for this podcast and looked at your website and some of your writings. And by the way, your blog is spot on. I probably read, I don't know, 20 posts of yours. So it was really appropriate. It's only when I started doing that research that I came to grips with that.
So I was asking because I have a client who is an estate planner, and she just had such a unique approach. And your journey from injury to family to estate sounded like maybe you kind of realized the same thing. That estate planning, most people think of people in their, you know, 50 plus, you know, kind of setting things up for their older kids if anything were to happen to them, and, you know, the wealth that's gathered up until that point, et cetera. And that's like one, that's the stereotype that the layperson thinks of. But then there's nuances within it. Like you're finding the younger professionals that are just beginning to kind of get familiar with their financial plans and what their future is going to look like. Because I feel like the generations are, like my generation and younger, we're looking at things much sooner because we've seen, you know, where our parents like have had missteps, et cetera, where they started doing these things really late. And like that, describing that right there, like that phenomenon, is a piece of messaging that should be in your marketing. The client that I was working with, she's an estate planner, she works with couples that are just having their first children. And what she specializes in is guardianship. What happens to you? What happens if something happens to you? What happens to your kids? And because she's found, like, this is why she started this. She went to law school actually, like later in life, is because she found that kids, you think that your will, you know, determines what happens to your kids, but there's so many nuances that she was finding that kids were being taken by the state when they should have been with family members, and there was no way for them to fight it. So like that is just such a powerful reason to be in this business. And I know that many of the listeners, like, you have a reason that you are in this business. And the question is, does your brand communicate that? Does it, are you doing that? Like that, that's the power of messaging and really connecting with those right people and having them hire you for, you know, not just because they have a pulse in the checkbook, but because they have the same passion and drive and desires that you want to help them get.
The other story that I hear frequently is that attorneys have, maybe they practiced in one area, they didn't like it, they moved to another area, they try and reposition themselves, it didn't go as well as they wanted, and pretty soon they're suffering from a confidence challenge. And so, you know, if I'm trying to reposition myself and get this alignment between branding, the business model, and marketing after I've had it, you know, some setbacks or haven't had the success that I wanted, you know, what are some of the things I can do to, again, trust my instincts or to move forward?
So I think, this is really common across entrepreneurship in general. I work with a lot of people who have lost their confidence in, you know, whether or not they're cut out to be private practitioners. You know, it's not that they doubt their abilities as a professional, like as an attorney, but they doubt their abilities as a solo practitioner. Yeah. You know, I don't make good business choices. Maybe I'm not good with money. Like they have all these beliefs about themselves because they haven't really been able to break through or reach the goals that they've set for themselves. And it doesn't, it usually comes down to the fact that running a business is a lot different, is much different than practicing your profession.
For sure.
And running the business isn't necessarily something that you're taught. And if you're being, if you're you're kind of gathering information as you can, you don't know what you don't know, and you end up maybe, you know, putting strategies into place that are kind of overgeneralized. They're not really for you, the, you know, legal professional. And they're so focused on kind of what we were talking about. Like I'm an estate attorney. I do this kind of work. And that's what we put on our business cards, we put on our website. But there's no personality or passion behind it. There's no story. It's very much like you're looking at other legal professionals that are in your area and kind of comparing yourself to them. And, you know, how do I make sure that I look as professional as them? And do my services look like theirs? And this is why so many legal professionals are working on word of mouth. Because when someone describes their work with you and their experience that they had and how good you are at what you do, that message and that passion and that personality comes through, which is why someone's like ready to sign up as soon as they call you, because they've already built that trust through the mutual friend or whoever that referred them. Your website needs to do those things. Once you can, like that, I think is the reason behind why a lot of people don't get off the ground, is that they haven't connected to that message yet, and they're still writing academically, they're still just trying to be as professional as possible instead of really letting their own, like, who they are show through. And that does take confidence, it does take practice, but it doesn't mean that you're not cut out for this business, that you can't have all the success you want, that you need to go, you know, get a position at a different firm. It really just comes down to the way the strategies are being applied, not that the strategies are wrong. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And then the flip side of that is, you know, there are a lot of practitioners, thankfully, who have had some success and, you know, are making a living and they're enjoying what they're doing, but they've hit a plateau. They've gotten to a point where, you know, for whatever reason, they can't seem to break through that next level. And whether it's an issue of scaling or whether it's a issue of delegation or operations or whatever the problem might be, again, people start to get a little down on themselves because they can't seem to break through that next plateau. And is this the same process?
Kind of. Usually where that plateau happens is two reasons. One, mindset. You have a certain set of beliefs that you developed throughout your life. So from when you were a little kid up into your professional career, and you have certain beliefs about yourself and what you're capable of. And when you start hitting a plateau, this is usually like when you're starting out, you have these upper limits and you break through them quickly because you see everyone else around you doing it too. And you say, okay, like they did it, I can do it. Once you start getting to the upper echelons of your profession and you start, you know, making that multi-six figure salary and you feel like you've made it, but you still want more, your mindset can really limit you because you want it, but you're not sure that you deserve it. You're not sure that you can do it. Not 1% of attorneys have done this. So, you know, while, you know, we're really high achievers, it's still a leap mindset wise. And we need to kind of break through some of those limiting beliefs in order for you to be able to do that. Otherwise you'll just keep sabotaging yourself without realizing it. But the other thing is that at this point, And this isn't just the higher echelon of upper limit. This could be any point, you know, whether you're a practice that has been in for, you know, 3 years and you're kind of like mid-level to someone that's, you know, at a pretty decent, you know, where you want it to be. What you've built up until that point doesn't allow you to jump into that level that you're trying to get to. So what that means is maybe the people you have working with you have served you well up until this point, but you need a different level of skill set or a different type of skill set to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Or it might mean that you hired people in your practice that you might not need. So your expenses are inflated and growing to be able to add the people that you do need isn't going to work for you. Could be that the type of client that you've been attracting up until now is not going to support the fees and the type of services that you want to provide going forward. So there's just a mismatch between what has worked for you up until this point and what's going to work for you later. There's a quote on my website, and I can't remember who said it at this point, but it's attributed on my website. What got you here is not going to get you there, basically. Yeah. Like, that's what it comes down to.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. I think this is all fascinating. I think you have a really kind of a different approach than a lot of folks do. How do clients work with you? What's the method for you delivering your services to them?
So it really depends on kind of where they are in their business, what they're looking for. But generally, you know, we're laying out this plan from the get-go. So working out with what their business model looks like now, what they want, whether the business model stays the same, but they're really just looking to scale what they already have, and just getting clear on what that vision looks like. Uh-huh. And then kind of reverse engineering the brand and the marketing to support that. And like I said, it's not an overnight process. Some things can be done in the short term usually something that's going to be done in the short term to get the ball rolling in the right direction, start testing out some of the ideas you have, start testing out some of the messaging. So it's not like you're waiting 9 months to like see a change, but it can take a good 9 months to just get the pieces into place that you want.
And what form does this take? Do you do this via video conferencing, telephone conferencing, face-to-face, all the above, or do you have a
course? It's all virtual. All virtual. I work with people in all different countries, and as well as the US. And basically where we start is usually we do like I do a two-part VIP day. So we do 3-hour chunk to flesh out the vision. And then I kind of go into my little cave and start reverse engineering and creating ideas and getting the first pieces of the messaging. And then we have day two, which is another 2 to 3 hours where we're putting the plan in place so that you know, okay, like timeline, this is what needs to happen at what times. You have your projects, you have who's going to work on those projects. And then from there, it's really support as you implement. And that's usually either done with me one-on-one, where I'm walking with you as you're implementing. It's more of a done with you service. Sometimes I'll do so, like, for instance, if you're doing a website, I might do all the copywriting for you, those kinds of things. But more commonly, I have a mastermind of people that are doing these same things. A lot of the questions I ask are the same.
Yeah.
And we have masterclasses and coaching calls where you can kind of navigate the process together. And that's my favorite.
Sure.
And that's the Trailblazers Collective. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, to say that I'm a Holly Chantel fan is an understatement these days. But I just wanted to also bring one thing to our listeners' attention. You know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and many of whom have a socially conscious approach to what they do and why they do it. But I've never, or I haven't seen too many people put it right up front the way you have. You have a whole section on your website called Do More Good. So I'm just going to let you describe what that is.
Yeah, so this is one of my core philosophies, and I very passionate about it. So Walt Disney has a famous quote that Disney does not make more movies to make more money. They make more money to make more movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as entrepreneurs, we have this unique ability to write our own paycheck. We're not in a salaried position where we work so many hours and we're only getting paid so much, or an hourly position where, you know, we're really limited by the hours in the day. Like, we have this unique opportunity to create massive abundance, well more than what we need. So that, I feel, is an opportunity that we should really use to do more good in the world. Because, you know, at some point, you know, you really don't need any more money, but that doesn't mean you want to stop achieving it. It doesn't mean you want to stop growing. But being able to, you know, offer jobs to other people that allows them to do what they love. And being able to, I have a couple of charities that I support, being able to donate to those charities, you know, basically a portion of every client that signs up with me, I donate a portion of that to one of my favorite charities. And that, I feel like, just kind of puts more good in the world. And that's really what I believe in as entrepreneurs, that we should be doing.
And I love how I can get an insight into who you are and what you're about by the choices you make in terms of the charities that you like to fund.
Yeah. So, yeah, one of them is a bird rescue.
It's a bird rescue.
Yeah. As a kid, I used to raise owls and hawks, and it's actually in my home state, which is Maine. And we stopped right about the time that rescue started, and they kind of took over a lot of the things that we were doing.
Yeah, well, it's just heartwarming and wonderful, and it just kind of cemented in my mind that clearly you would be somebody that I would be honored to work with. So, without slathering too much further,
I'm blushing over here. I really appreciate it.
Holly, tell our audience how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything you've shared with them today.
Yes. So my website is hollychantel.com, C-H-A-N-T-A-L. So hollychantel.com is the best way to, you know, read the blog, learn more about what I do. And I also have a quiz that if you feel like you're at that plateau and you're not really sure which of those moving pieces, so is it the business model, is it the brand, is it the sales and marketing, you're not really sure which one of those is holding you up, I have a quiz at growthblindspot.com that'll help you pinpoint you know, where your blind spots are. Not only where like the blind spot is, but what's causing it, which is usually like the thing that you really don't know about. Yeah. It's like a subconscious thing. And it'll tell you like this is where your blind spot is and this is how you fix it.
Well, we'll have both those links in the show notes. And so if you're just getting off the treadmill or arriving at work or home from work on your commute, you'll be able to look both those resources up. And Holly, I want to thank you ever so much for taking the time to be with us today. I really do appreciate it and really did enjoy our conversation.
I did as well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for being on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, that will do it, fellow law entrepreneurs, for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors this week. That would be Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, Law Coaching, and Spotlight Branding. Be sure to visit us on our website at www.thelawentrepreneur.com or check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. Just search for The Law Entrepreneur. You'll find us. Make sure you consider joining our private Facebook group where we'll be having some new offerings starting the first of the year. So I want you to have a great week and we'll see you next time. And thank you for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.